Today's daf is Yumadaf Mem Zayin, and we are Be'ezras Hashem, the beginning of a new perek, the fifth perek of Masechtas Yuma, another Kachim perek, perek Hoitziuloi, at the very top of Daf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refua Shalema, the Shlomo Ben Sara Aliza, Avadi Ben Miriam Leah, Moshe Abba Ben Devorah, Devorah Bas Mecha, Shmu Ben Tehila, Mordechai Tzvi Ben Fradel, Rafal Yaakov Ben Rachel Chava, David Ben Shoshana, Rafal Yitzchak Isaac Ben Ruchama, Miriam Basara Dina, Menachem Mendel Ben Yehudas Chaya, Avram Menachem Ben Leah Edel, and Yaakov Ben Gittel. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus, via Cheskel Shraga Ben Miril, and today's daf is being learned by Ilu Nishmas Avram Ben Yibadel Chaim Toivim, Remoisha Chaim. So, Taraf Bekalpi ended in middle of the Kohen Gadol's Avoida that he did on Yom Kippur. Perek Hoitziuloi begins on that same note, literally a continuation of where we were. So, the Mishnah on Daf Mem Gimel Amid Beis discussed how the Kohen Gadol interrupted the Hakrava of his par with the Avoida of the Ketores. Now, this wasn't the Ketores that was brought every single day in the Beis HaMikdash. That Ketores was brought twice, Pras B'Shachris, Pras Bein Arbayim. That Ketores was brought on Yom Kippur as well. But in addition to the ordinary Ketores that was brought on Yom Kippur, that was brought 365 days a year, there was also a Ketores that was brought one day a year. That Ketores was brought not in the Heichal on the Mizbeach, Hapnimi, but rather in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It had a different shear, and there were many differences, but the point is, we're in the middle of discussing that special Ketores that the Kohen Gadol brought on Yom Kippur. Says the Mishnah, Yitziuloi es hakaf, the es hamachto, they brought out to the Kohen Gadol, the kaf, that's the spoon that would hold the Ketores, the es hamachto, and the shovel, chaf amaloi chafnav. He then took a maloi chafnav of Ketores from the shovel, the nasan letoich hakaf, and he put it into the spoon. The shear of the Ketores was not an absolute objective shear, but rather it depended on the size of the maloi chafnav of the Kohen Gadol. So, hagadol lefi gadloi. If the maloi chafnav of the Kohen Gadol was big, then the shear was going to be big. If the maloi chafnav of the Kohen Gadol was small, then the shear was going to be small. We'll see what that means in the Gemara. Not the less, the Kohen Gadol then held the machta, the shovel, in his right hand, v'sakaf b'smoiloi, and he held the spoon in his left hand. So the Mishnah is describing the way the special Ketores on Yom Kippur was brought, and the Mishnah begins by saying that they brought for the Kohen Gadol the kaf and the machta. Now the Lashon of the Mishnah is hoitziuloi. They took it out. Where'd they take it out from? So Rashi says, mi lishkas hakelim. These kelim were in the lishkas hakelim. They were taken out from the lishkas hakelim, and they were handed over to the Kohen Gadol. Another thing we saw in the Mishnah that's very much going to be the topic of part of today's daf, and the next daf, and the daf after that, and that is that the shear of the Ketores on Yom Kippur was a maloi chafnov. Now we'll see, Psukim, the Makar is clearly a pasuk in the Torah, but what is the definition of maloi chafnav? So the Kohen Gadol would take his two hands and scoop out as much Ketores as he can get. So really, the amount of Ketores that was brought depended on the size of the hands of the Kohen Gadol. Regardless, the Gemara begins with a kasha. It sounds like at this point, they're bringing the machta to the Kohen Gadol. He doesn't have the shovel yet. Right now, they're bringing the machta. Freak the Gemara, machta hatanale. Didn't we already talk about the machta in the previous Mishnah? And Dachnem Gimel on the base, the Mishnah said, not us machta, the Kohen Gadol took the machta, he went to the top of the Mizbech, the Chaisa, and he would shovel the coals, the Yair, and then he would come down. And the Mishnah, if you remember, mentioned a whole bunch of differences between the way the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur would shovel the coals versus the way the Kohen would do it the whole year. Number one, the whole year the shovel was made of silver, now it was made of gold. The whole year the Kohen would go from the sides. This time he would go through the middle. It had a longer handle, it had a shorter handle, it was a thicker wool, it was a thinner wool. There were a whole bunch of differences. But the point is, we already talked about the machta, so it seems to be out of order. In the previous Mishnah, we already have the Kohen Gadol with the machta going up the ramp, taking the machta to shovel coals. Now, hoitziuloi esakaf. So that's the Gemara's question. Don't we have it already? And the Gemara answers, a very simple answer, you have to say. There were two machtois, there were two shovels. Hasam machta de gecholam. The previous Mishnah was talking about the shovel that was used to shovel the coals, v'hacha machta de ketores. And our Mishnah is talking about the shovel that was used for the ketores. So there were two machtois. One machta would have coals in it, and the other machta would have ketoiris in it. In fact, says the Gemara, the Tanya, it's a mefurish abraisa. Itziu le kaf reikam ilishkas akelim. They brought the kohen gadol an empty kaf from the lishkas akelim. Umachta gedusha shal ketoiris mi lishkas beis avtinos. Additionally, they took a machta gedusha shal ketoiris, a machta that had a lot of ketoiris in it, and that came not from the lishkas akelim, but rather that came from lishkas beis avtinos. This is another example of a braisa that talks a little bit more than the Mishnah does, and as a result, it clarifies things that, based on the Mishnah itself, were a little bit unclear. The Mishnah simply said, the braisa says the machta was gedusha shel keteiris. The machta had keteiris in it. Oh, that explains the issue that we had with the previous Mishnah. The previous Mishnah was talking about a machta that was used for coals. This Mishnah is talking about a machta of keteiris. Okay, so the Kohen Gadol was just brought the machta that has keteiris in it, and he has a kaf. So what did he do next? Chafa malei chafnav. He took the malei chafnav, he scooped his two hands into the shovel that had the keteiris in it, and he put it into the kaf. And then the Mishnah said, so really, the shear depended on the size of the kohen gadol. It wasn't an absolute shear, but rather, depending on what size the maloi chafna of the kohen gadol was, that would determine what the shear would be. Zok de gemara, kaf b'yom ha-kippurim lamali. Why did we even have to have a kaf? Meaning, it sounds like the keteiris started in a machta. When they brought the keteiris to the Kohen Gadol, he has his gabbaim that are working for him. So when the keteiris was brought to him, it was brought to him in a machta. So why doesn't he just take the machta, scoop it out, the maloi chafnav, and walk into the Kodesh HaKadoshim with the keteiris in his maloi chafnav? What's the point in taking the maloi chafnav and now putting it into a kaf? And in fact, the Gemara says that from the pasuk, it's a little bit mashma that you don't need a kaf. Meaning, not only kaf b'yom ha-kippurim lamali, like why, but more than that, maloi chafnav, the hevi yom rachmano, look at the pasuk. It says, v'lokach maloi ha-machta, gach le'esh me'al ha-mezbeach m'lifnei Hashem, u'maloi chafnav keteiris, you should take a maloi chafnav keteiris, samim daka, v'hevi mibes l'pareiches, and you should bring it to the other side of the pareiches. You should bring it into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So when the pasuk describes taking the keteiris and bringing it into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it says it should be a maloi chafnav, and there's no mention of putting it into a kaf. So freit the Gemara, kaf b'yom ha-kippurim lamali. Number one, why? And number two, from the pasuk, it's actually mashma that you don't need it. And the Gemara says, you're right. It's not based on a pasuk. But the reason Chazal understood that this is the way it is, that you have to take the keteiris from the machna and then put it into the kaf, and that's the way you should walk it in, is mishum de lo yafshe, because there's no other way to do it. Because the hechinavit, let's just practically work this through. At the end of the day, this kohen gadol right now is going to be holding a shovel with coals, right? He doesn't need this second shovel that was brought out. That was just brought out initially together with the keteiris. Once the kohen gadol took the keteiris out of that shovel, he put it into the kaf, so we don't need that shovel anymore. But he needs the shovel that we had in the previous parak. He needs the shovel that had the coals in it. So he's going to have to walk in with a shovel of coals. He's also going to have to walk in with the keteiris. So the Gemara says, how do you expect him to do it? Na'ayel v'hada na'ayel. Do you want him to make two trips? Meaning, he'll walk in with the maloi chafnav of keteiris. They're in both his hands. Obviously can't carry the coals if they're both in his hands. And then he'll go out, he'll make another trip, and this time he'll bring in the coals. The Gemara says, Hava achas amar achmanav alo yishtei avois. The pasuk says, Vehevi mi beis l'aparoichas. Vehevi is in the singular. It sounds like one time you're supposed to bring him beis l'aparoichas, you're not supposed to do it twice. So it's not an option to go in twice to bring the keteiris. One time you have to bring the whole keteiris. Okay, initially the keteiris b'chafnav. So maybe what you should do is, keep the keteiris inside your maloi chafnav, meaning don't put it into a kaf, v'nachse l'machta ala, and put the shovel on top of it. V'leil. Okay, that's doable. But the Gemara says, Kimati Hasam Echilav. Once you get into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, what are you going to do? Nishkele Bashine Venachse L'machta. Should you take the shovel off the Maloi Chafnav using your teeth? Meaning, you're holding the Keteiris in both of your hands. On top of that, you have the shovel that has the coals in it. Now everything has to be placed down. So first you have to place down the coals. How are you going to place the coals down first? Should you do it with your teeth? I mean, you don't have a hand available right now to do it with your feet. That's acrobatic. So the Gemara says the most practical way maybe to do it would be with your teeth. But the Gemara says this is the way you serve the Eibishta in the Kodesh HaKadoshim on the holiest day of the year when you're the holiest person in the Jewish nation. Hashtalifnei melech basav adam ein oisen keim. Madach, you wouldn't serve a melech basav adam that way. Lifnei melech malach amal kodesh baruch alachas kama v'kama. So the Gemara says, hulkach layafsher. The point is, it's not possible to do it any other way. And being that it's not possible, of dina kedashkecham minaseim. So therefore, Chazal came up with something creative. They said, let's use a kaf, because the truth is, you find a kaf associated with keteris, you find it by the naseim. We said it 13 times in Parashas Nasai, kaf achas asara zov. Malaya Keteris. You see, there was a calf that was Malaya Keteris that the Nesiyim brought. Everyone knows that pasuk. And as a result, now we have a situation, you're stuck. We don't really know how the Kohen Gadol is going to bring the Malaya Chafen of Keteris and at the same time bring the Macht of Gechalim. So let's work with the precedent that we have, which is the calf Achas Asar Azam Malaya Keteris. And it's for that reason that this is the way it was done. The bottom line is, the Mishnah said that the way the Kohen Gadol entered the Kodesh HaKadoshim was with a calf and a machna. Ironically, it's not the kaf and the machna that I mentioned in our Mishnah. The perek begins, "Itziu lo yas a kaf es a machna." And if you didn't go further, you would be very inclined to think, oh, that's the kaf and the machna that the Kohen Gadol used to walk into the Kodesh HaKadoshim with. That's not true. The kaf was the kaf, but the machta that the Kohen Gadol walked into the Kodesh HaKadoshim with was actually a different machta. This machta was the shovel with keteris that came from Beis Aftinas that was brought to the Kohen Gadol from which he did the Maloi Chafnov to take the keteris. The machta that he walked into the Kodesh HaKadoshim with was the machta that was discussed in the Mishnah Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis that he used to shovel the gecholim, and that was filled with cholim. So he walked in with a machta that had cholim in it, and he walked in with a kaf that had keteris in it. The truth is, if you go through the psukim, there's no reference of a kaf. The machta, yeah, the lokach maloi hamachta gach le'esh me'alam izbeach melifnei Hashem. But as it relates to the keteris, it just says maloi chafnov keteris. The heavy be based on pareches. It doesn't say anything about the kaf, and that was the Gemara's kasha. Kaf piyam mikipurim lomeli. What's the bekar? From the pasuk is not mashma that there was a kaf. The machta is mentioned in the pasuk. That's you walk in with a machta that's maloi gach le'esh. But where do you find anywhere the kaf? Achas the Gemara said you're right. It's not based on a pasuk. It's just logical. At the end of the day, there's no other way to do it because the maloi chafnov is both hands. So how's the Kohen Gadol supposed to walk in with two hands of keteris plus a shovel full of coals? It's impossible. There's just no practical way to do it. Therefore, Bal Karchach, there must be a step that the Torah never mentioned that needs to be inserted based on Torah Shabbat Peh. What's the step? There's going to be a kaf. A kaf? We didn't even come up with that. Oh, there's a precedent for that. Kaf achas asara zom leik keteris you find by the Nesiyim. And once you find it by the Nesiyim, it makes sense to shtelitzu over here. Says the Gemara, the Mishnah said, last line, not as a machta be a minoy, but a kaf b'smayl. So again, the Kohen Gadol's holding two things in his two hands. He's holding a shovel full of coals, and he's holding a spoon full of keteris. So here's the question. If you had to decide which should be in his right hand, which should be in his left hand? So you'd say the right hand is always more chashuv. I mean that it's more chashuv. We have to figure out which of the two is more chashuv. Is the keteris more chashuv, or are the coals more chashuv? Presumably, the keteris is more chashuv. That's the Gemara's kasha. Not unless hamachta be a min v'sakaf the smile. You put the shovel in your right hand and you put the keteris in your left hand. Yitziva ba'aro v'giyore b'shmei shmaya. The landsman sits on the floor and the guest, he's b'shmei shmaya, usually works in the reverse. An expression, but the point is, you would think it should be the opposite. The yitziva is the keteris. That's more chashuv. That should be in the right hand. The giyore is less chashuv. That should be in the left hand. So the Gemara says, I hear, but again, it's a practical thing. At the end of the day, which was heavier? The shovel of coals was heavier than the kaf that had keteris in it. And being that it's heavier, so the right hand is usually the stronger hand. The left hand is the yad keya, so it makes sense that that's the way it should be. So the Gemara, by the way, but even though we're saying that the only reason it was done in that way is because that's heavier, so what would be if it wasn't heavier? What would be if they were equal? What would be if the left hand was actually bigger? Afal pikein. The halacha is you would always do it in this way. So the reason the shovel of coals was in the right hand, even though it was less chashev, is because zu meruba, but lamaisa, even if it wasn't meruba, even if it was muetes, even if it was weaker, it meaning lighter, still the halacha is it would remain in the right hand. So the Gemara says, what's this makar? Meaning, how would it even be possible that the keteris would weigh at least as much as the coals? So the Gemara says, "Ukemaisa the Rabbi Yishmael ben Kimchis." There's a makar to this, and in fact, it was a real Kohen Gadol who had a situation like this, where his keteris weighed as much as the coal. And who was that Kohen Gadol? Rabbi Yishmael ben Kimchis. So the Gemara says, "Who is this Rabbi Yishmael ben Kimchis?" Amru all of that Rabbi Yishmael ben Kimchis. Arba kavim malay chafnav. He had very big hands. That's the short answer. And when he used to do his malay chafnav, he would take out four kavim worth of keteris. As a result, his spoonful of keteris was very heavy, and it's for that reason, it ended up being Shava, and that's what the Gemara is bavaring, that even someone like Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchas, still, he would have the macht in his right hand, he would have the kaf in his left hand. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchas, who had these very big hands, he used to say, Kol anoshim zered zardu, but v'zered ima olu legag. All the women have zered, but my mother's zered was much greater, it went all the way to the roofs. What does this mean? The Gemara says, tup shatim. Ikadami, some say, ba'arson, that it's referring to arson. So arson is a type of bran that choylem would eat. It's good for a choyla. Now, stam women that are pregnant have a din of a choyla. So they used to give the pregnant women this arson. So the arson is the zered that Rabbi Shmuel ben Pabi was referring to. So he said, all the women took zered. But my mother, when she was pregnant with me, she must have taken more zered. That's why I turned out to be so big the way I am. Some say he was referring to something else. V'shichva zera. He was referring to the shichva zera through which he was conceived. Rabbi Avod, Rabbi Avod, Rabbi Avod, asked the stira, ksiv. The pasuk says, "Vatazreni chayol la milchama tachria kamei tachteni." But we're focusing on the word "vatazreni." V'ksiven, there's another pasuk that says, "Vateazreni chayol la milchama tachria kamei tachtoi." So the stira, Rabbi Vol Rami, is one pasuk says "vatazreni" without an aleph. The other pasuk says "vateazreni" with an aleph. So which one is it? Is "vatazreni" spelled with an aleph or not an aleph? So Rabbi Vol explained. He said, "Amadov fan kodesh baruch." David HaMelech is talking, and he said, "Ribbono shel olam, zeirisani v'zeirastani." The word "vatazreni" without an aleph is miloshin zoira. Tezoira means to winnow. Zoira boiriru merakit. Three of the lametes melachis. Vateazreni with an aleph means to gird, to be clothed with strength. So David HaMelech said, "Vatazreni chayol hamilchama." I was winnowed, and as a result, I was a chayol hamilchama. But he also said, "Vateazreni chayol hamilchama," and he was referring to two different things. The one he was referring to is that he was winnowed; that he came, his conception was mamish from the mufchar. It was from the shufra of the shichva zera. So winnowing means to be boirer. It means to take the oichel mitoich psoilus. That's the way David HaMelech was conceived, and he said it's for that reason he was so strong. That was the vatazreni chayol hamilchama. He also said "vatazreni." He said that, you know, he was girded, he was given a lot of strength. But the point is, there's a concept of being vatazreni that allows a person to have strength. In the Ikud Amri, that's what Rabbi Shmuel ben Pabi was referring to when he said that kol anoshim zered zardu v'zered ima olo legag. He meant what David HaMelech said when he said "vatazreni" without the aleph. "Vatazreni chayol hamilchama," that the zered was referring to this idea. He was winnowed. He came from the mufchar of the shichva zera, and that's why he was so strong. So either he was so big and strong because his mother ate a lot of arson when she was pregnant with him, or it had something to do with his conception. So we mentioned Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis, specifically the fact that he had these very large hands. It was once Yom Kippur, Rashi says, and Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis was having a conversation with an Arab in the Shuk. Now, what was Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis doing in the Shuk on the Yom HaKadosh? So the Achrenim talk about that, but that's what happened. The Nitzat Zinayim Pivah Begadav. And when this Arabi was talking to Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis, he spit on Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis. Now the halach is that a guy has a din of a zav, and because he has a din of a zav, the Mayonis Shel Zav are all metama. So once the saliva went on Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis, he became tame, and that was a problem because that meant that he couldn't do the avodah. V'nichnas Yeshevav Achiv Veshimesh Tachdim. Because of that, his brother Yeshevav, he was the Skan Kohen Gadol. He stepped into his brother's shoes, and he ended up doing the avodah. And this mother was Zoicha, that on one day in Yom Kippur, she got to see two of her sons serve as the Kohen Gadol. Another way, said Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis, he was once having a conversation again with an officer in the Shuk, again on Yom Kippur. The same exact story happened. This is the second story. Shuv Pamachas. It happened a different time. Again, this person spin Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis, and this time his brother Yosef, not Yeshevav, his brother Yosef came, and again, this mother was zeicha to see two kehanim gedoyim. And the first time it was Yishmael and Yeshevav. The second time it was Yishmael and Yosef. But twice this mother had the schus that on one Yom Kippur, two of her sons did the avodah in the Beis Hamikdash. Tanu Rabbanan, Shiva banim hayu lo kimchis. This kimchis that we just mentioned had seven sons. V'kulan shimsha v'kuna gedoyla. And they were all kehanim gedoyim. Amru lo chachamim. So chachamim told him, ma'osis shezachis l'kach. What did you do to merit such a schus? Amru lam, she told him, miyamai leiro koyres basically sarah. The walls of my house never saw the braids of my hair. Meaning she was makbet to cover her hair even in her house, even though it's not a public area, even though she didn't have to, but at the same time, that's what she did. Amru la, they told her, I hear, it's very nice what you're saying, but harbe yasu kein v'loi ha'ilu. There must be a little more to the story, because we know a lot of people that did the same thing, they tried, and it didn't work. They weren't zaycha to what you were zaycha to. The Gemara doesn't say what her response was, but the point is, this kimchis, in our Gemara, had three sons that were Kehanim Gedoilim, Yishmael, Yeshevav, and Yosef. But the Gemara says, really, there were another four sons. In total, there were 10 sons that she had. And what was the reason she was Zoicha? A very, very well-known Gemara. Because she said, Miyomai lo ra'u koiros besi kale sari, a lot more about Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis in the raid bite. But first, a little bit more Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan, Bikumtzai. So it says in the Pasuk, regarding a mincha, v'heirim mimenu b'kumtzai. So a mincha was flour. Sometimes there was levaina in it. Sometimes there was oil in it. But at its core, it was flour. And the way it was brought as a carbon was, you take a bunch of flour, you put it into a kli sharis, and the kohen would do something that mirrors a little bit the k'tayrus on Yom Kippur. He wouldn't take a maloi chafnav, but he would take a kaimetz. The Gemara is going to explain exactly what kmitza was, but he would take a kaimetz worth of soilus, and it would be makdirit on the mizbeach. And taking the koimetz and putting it on the mizbeach is the equivalent thereof to taking the blood of a carbon and putting it on a mizbeach. So just like the dam of a carbon is the spitz of a behema, so too the dam of the koimetz of the mincha, that was the mincha. So when the pasuk describes the mincha, it says v'heirim mimenu, you should take from it, meaning from the carbon mincha, bekumtzai a koimetz. Zokta Gemara, you know, we learn from the word bekumtzai, shleyasa mita lekoimetz, that it literally has to be done as a koimetz, meaning the kohen has to come and stick his hand into the soilus and take out a koimetz. But if you would measure the koimetz of the kohen and then take a keli and do it that way, it wouldn't be okay. But bekumtzai teaches me, you have to actually take the koimetz. Ibayilu, mao shayasa mita lechafina. What about with regards to the maloi chafnav of kentiris that the kohen gadol brought with the special k'tayrus on Yom Kippur? Again, we're drawing a parallel between the koimetz of the mincha and the maloi chafnav of the k'tayrus on Yom Kippur, even though it's two different things. One has absolutely nothing to do with each other. But atzad hashava shemem is like a similar concept. The shear is somehow associated with the hand of the kohen. The koimetz of the kohen, the maloi chafnav of the kohen gadol. So just like we have a drasha that says, bekumtzai, shalayasim midal koimetz, that the kohen can't simply go ahead and measure his koimetz, make a keli, and put koimetz into it and be makter. That's not okay. So maybe the maloi chafnav is the same way, or maybe the maloi chafnav is different. So what are the two tzadim? So the Gemara explains. Hasan v'dichse bekumtzai. Over there it says the word bekumtzai. Bekumtzai's mashmet has to be from the koimetz. Abalach l'ikse bechafnav. Over here it doesn't say the word bechafnav, but what does it say? V'lokach maloi chafnav. Oh, maloi chafnav sounds like the shear of the chafnav. So maybe over here it'd be okay with the shear. Aydomo, or maybe no. Yalif mali mali bekumtzai. At the end of the day, there is another pasuk by the koimetz where it says the word mali. And being that by koimetz we said for sure, you have to have the koimetz itself. So maybe b'gzeira shava, we know the same thing regarding maloi chafnav. So that's the Gemara's ibaya. The question is whether the maloi chafnav had it literally happen, come about by the kohen gadol taking this maloi chafnav, putting it into the shovel that was full of keteris, or as long as he takes the shear of his maloi chafnav and puts it on the mizbeach, that in and of itself would be okay. So the Gemara says, Tashman, maybe we could bring a raya from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah did not address it. But the Mishnah did say a few words that the Gemara feels is a little unclear what it means. And the Gemara is saying, you know what? Maybe this is what it means. So it said in the Mishnah, v'kach hoysam midasa. So the Mishnah said that chafam aloi chafnav, v'nasam l'teich hakaf, hagadol ifi gadol v'akotan ifi kotan. We're describing the shear of the aloi chafnav. And then we throw in these words, v'kach hoysam midasa. What does that mean? My love, the Gemara says, maybe this is what it means. Shemratza lasis midach eretz oisa. Maybe it means that this is the shear. Meaning, as long as you have the shear of maloi chafnav, it doesn't have to be literally the maloi chafnav. Meaning, in contrast to the mincha, where it has to be bekumtzai, maybe over here it doesn't. As long as it's the shear of maloi chafnav. Maybe that's what the Mishnah means. But the Gemara says, why? That's not what it means. Hachikami, you know what it means? V'kacha yechayze v'chayfna. What the Mishnah means to say is that he did a second kemitza. What is the second? A second chafina. What's the second chafina? So we'll see about that in the coming sugyas. But what the Mishnah is referring to when it says v'kach hoysa midasa, then not only did he take kamaloi chafnav once, but he took kamaloi chafnav a second time. Someone says, okay, if that's what it means, then shamim minoch chayvin v'chayz v'chayvin. Let's at least prove from here that there wasn't a chafina that was done once, it was done twice. Meaning, if that's what v'kach hoysa midasa means, so could we prove that? I mean, that's going to be a sugya coming up in the next few days. So And when we learn that sugya, could we refer back to the Mishnah and say it's Mefurish Mishnah? The Gemara says, no, you can't. Because when you're learning that sugya, you're going to say, Dom L'shem Ratzel Lassis Midoisa. Maybe what the Mishnah really meant to say was, is that you don't have to take the Malay Chafnav, but as long as you have the shear of the Malay Chafnav, that's going to be okay. So Rashi explains that really what the Gemara is saying is, it's not clear what the Mishnah means. The Mishnah said, V'kachoyisa Midasa. And really, at this point, the kai chasi midasa can mean one of two things. Either it can mean malay chafnav is a shir. You don't have to really take the malay chafnav. By the koi mitz, it has to be bekumtzai. But malay chafnav, you don't have to take malay chafnav. It's just a shir malay chafnav. That's one possibility. Another possibility is that maybe the kai chasi midasa means that rinse and repeat. Meaning you don't just take the malay chafnav once, but you take the malay chafnav a second time. But being that there's two possibilities, and we don't know which one it is, so you can't be poshut anything. So when you're learning Yuma Daf Mem Zayin, and you're learning the Shaila, the Malay Chafnav, was it a shir, or did it really have to be Malay Chafnav? You want to bring a right from the Mishnah that says V'kal Chayis V'das, I'll say maybe it means Chayfen V'Chayis V'Chayfen. When you're learning the Sugya of Chayfen V'Chayis V'Chayfen, and you want to bring a right from the Mishnah over here that says V'kal Chayis V'Das, I'm going to say maybe that's not what it means. Maybe it means that V'kal Chayis V'Das, that if you want, just take the shir, you don't literally have to take the Malay Chafnav. The point is, Zil Hacha V'Zil Hacha, either Sugya that you're learning, you always be Daicha. Point is, you can't learn anything from it. Inami, the Gemara says, I'll even give you a third suggestion of maybe what the Mishnah means. Shalayechsa v'shalayayitza. Maybe what the Mishnah says, v'kachoyse midasla, that it's a very precise shear. It has to be malay chafnav, and this precision in that shear can't be any more, can't be any less, and maybe that's what it means. In other words, three possibilities of what v'kachoyse midasla means. Either v'kachoyse midasla, as long as you had the shear of the malay chafnav of the Kohen Gadol, even if he didn't take it through the, meaning before Yontif, he measured his hands, he took an implement that was that exact measurement, stuck it into his hands, maybe that would be okay. That's one possibility. Another possibility is what it means is chayfin v'chayz v'chayfin. There was a second act of chafina that we're going to learn about. A third possibility is shalayachs of shalayachs. Maybe it means it has to be the exact share. But one thing is clear, that as it relates to our shayla, and that is by the kaimitz, it had to physically be the kaimitz. The kaimitz had to take his hand and pull out a kamitza. He couldn't have the shear of the kaimitz of the kaimitz. He physically had to do a maisa kamitza. What about the malay chafnav? We had a shayla. And it seems that the Gemara wasn't paishida, but the Gemara is going to continue me'inyan le'inyan. Tanu Rabbanan, another braisa, meloi kumtzai, as it relates to the koimitz of the mincha. Again, why are we talking about the koimitz of the mincha? We're not learning Masechtas Menachos now. We're knee deep in the avoda on Yom Kippur. It's because we're comparing, we're drawing a parallel between the koimitz of the mincha and the meloi chafnav of the k'toyres on Yom Kippur. So the braisa says, as it relates to meloi kumtzai, yacham uvuritz, you would think that he should take this heaping koimitz. No, it should be precise. So you would think that the koimitz should be that as long as there's a little bit of soilus on top of the tip of his fingers, that would be enough. You have to do it the way that people do. Okay, it's okay. How do people do it? You take your hand, three fingers, you put it into the container that has the flour in, and then you close your fingers, you clutch it, and whatever is inside, that's what the koimitz is going to be. Meaning the koimitz, and then you level out the two sides, and any little bit of soilus that's on top of your three fingers or that's beneath your three fingers is going to go by the wayside, and whatever the koin has in between his three fingers, that's ultimately what the koimitz is going to be. The Braisa continues and says, ubemachvas, ubemarcheshes, that these were types of menachas that were either baked or fried before the kmitza was done. So this is a little challenging. Meaning, if you have soilus, you just have a container of flour. Say you stick your fingers inside, it's very easy to do what you have to do. But what if you have a cracker? You're going into a challah. You're going into a matzah. And you have to get a perfect kmitz. Right? You have to have the nice kmitz in between your fingers. And then the top, there can't be anything there. And at the bottom, there can't be anything. So there, the kmitz is going to have to work. He's going to already have to earn his keep. Meichik begudloi milmai. He's going to have to use his thumb on top to be meichik, to knock off anything that's there. Ubet spoy ketana mamat. He's going to have to do the same thing with his pinky momata. And then the Braisa famously says, Vizuhi avoida kosher shebemikta. This was not easy. This was the most difficult avoid. So people sometimes quote, the kmitza was the most difficult thing in the, not every kmitza. The typical kmitza wasn't a big deal. It was the kmitza that was done with the machvas and the marcheshes. Because now you need to have strong fingers. Right, now you have to have hands like Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis. You're plowing through this machvas and the marcheshes. This is already not so easy. That's the avoida kosher. But the Marcha, Sui, Vizuhi, was this really the hardest? For ikamalika, Malika that was done with the Eifes, the Chatas Ha'Elzai, that was pretty hard. So Ikra Chafino, and even the Malay Chafna of Anyam Kippur, the Gemara is going to talk about why that was so hard. But even that was hard. Elazuhi may avoid this Kashash Shabbat Mekdash. You're right, after further review, this is not the most difficult Avodah, but it's top three. It's from the three most difficult. Kaimitz, specifically with the Machvas and the Marcheshes, Malika, that was done with the Chatas Eif and the Oilus Eif, and the Chafina, that was done with the Ketairis Anyam Kippur. I'm Rabbi Yoichanan. Rabbi Yoichanan said, Boy, Rabbi Yeshua ben Uzzah. Rabbi Yeshua ben Uzzah had a question. Bein habinayim shalmoloi kum tzama. So we said the kaimitz is very precise. Can't have anything on top. Can't have anything on bottom. You can't just take it with the tip of your fingers. You have to take it with your entire finger. What if there's any soilus in between the fingers? So it's not inside the palm of your hand, but it's stuck between the fingers. What's the halacha? Is that part of the kaimitz? Or is that on the outside looking in? It's not part of the kindness. This was Rabbi Yeshua ben Uzzah's question. So the Gemara said like this. Amar Rapapa. Rapapa commented. He said, "The gavoy like Rabbi Yeshua ben Uzzah was never asking regarding the gavoy. The part of the soilus, the flower, that's in between the fingers, but that's protruding inside the palm of the kohen's hand. The vade kaimitz, that's for sure part of it. Meaning if you're inside the palm, if you'd be able to see it, even though part of it is between the fingers, but if it's gavoy, it's mamish inside the palm, for sure it's considered part of the kaimitz. And he never asked that, and he never even entertained another tzad. The baroy loytibaylach. And if it's on the outside, meaning if you could see it from the outside of the fingers, that's also, that was never a shayla. The vadi shirek. What was the question? The baini baini. What would be if it's literally in between? You can't see it from the inside, if you see it from the inside part, if you see it from the outside part of the outer. What if it's mamish, if it's clutched very tightly in between the fingers? So what's nalach with the bein habinayim? I'm Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan said, Hader Pashta Rabbi Shul ben Uzzah, bein habinayim, Safik Nino. So it doesn't sound like Hader Pashta, but he's Hader Pashta, he was pashted it. And he said, you want to know the halach? I figured it out. It's a Safik. But anyways, he said, I'm not sure. And as a result, it's a Safik. So what are you supposed to do? Because it's practice, this is going to happen. So if this is going to happen, it's inevitable that this is going to happen. So every time the Kohen did a Kohen, now we have a Safik, what to do with the Bein HaBinayim? So the Gemara says, oh, it's not so hard. I'm Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina said, Mak the Kohen Slechud. The first thing you should do is you should be Mak to the Ketaretz. I mean, don't be Mak to the Bein HaBinayim. Be Mak to the Kohen, V'hod the Bein HaBinayim, and then be Mak to the Bein HaBinayim. He said, why do you have to do it this way? Why is it ma'akiv to do it in this order? He says, I'm a bein habinayim bereshno. Because if first you're going to be ma'akiv to the bein habinayim, the part that's in between the fingers, don't shirayim nenu. Maybe really it's not part of the kaimitz. Now, if it's not part of the kaimitz, it's part of the shirayim of the kaimitz. So every mincha, once the kmitza was done, really became two distinct parts. You had the kaimitz that would go on the mizbeach, and you had everything else that was known as the Shirayim. The Shirayim were eaten. There's a mitzvah to eat the Shiorei Menachos. Shiorei Menachos is a big deal when you learn Masechtas Menachos. But here's the point. If the Bein HaBinayim is not the Kaimitz, then what is it? It's the Shirayim. You're either with us or against us. Either you're the Kaimitz, you go on the Mizbeach, or you're the Shirayim, you're part of the Shiorei HaMincha. So Rav Chanina said that, you know what you do? You mark to the Kaimitz first. Well, maybe be mark to the Bein HaBinayim first. No, you can't do that. Because maybe it's Shirayim. If it's Shirayim, and you amakter it, so Shirayim's gone. It burnt in the fire of the Mizbech. It's v'havelu Shirayim shechasru ben k'mitza la'aktorah. It's going to be Shirayim that got lost between the k'mitza and aktorah. V'am amar, and we learned to Masech this Menachis, Shirayim shechasru ben k'mitza la'aktorah. If the Shirayim gets lost between the k'mitza and the aktorah, emakter in le'ez ha'kamitz, you can't do the k'mitza anymore. You can't do the aktorah of the k'mitza anymore. So Rav Chanina said it's not an option. He says, you can't be makter the Bein HaBinayim, and then be makter the kaimitz, because on the tzad that Bein HaBinayim is Shirayim, once you makter it, it comes out, you're missing some of the Shirayim, you can't be makter the kaimitz. So he says, Pasha, what you do is first be makter the kaimitz, and then after you makter the kaimitz, you'll be makter the Bein HaBinayim. But the Gemara asks a basic menachas question. It's a pasuk in the Torah that says the part of the mincha that was not supposed to be burnt was not allowed to be burnt. Hareyu bebals haktirus. Frank the Gemara, mamanavshach. You're telling me you can't be makta the Shirayim first because of the Bein HaBinayim first because maybe it's Shirayim. And if it's Shirayim, then it's going to come out. You're missing some of the Shirayim. If that's the case, if it's really a Sofik, that's what Rabbi Yeshua ben Uzzah said, right? Hader Pashta, then I'm not sure. But if that's really the case, so you can't be makter later either. Even after you are makter the Ketaretz, it's a suffix deraisa, and you may be over kol shem imenul each one of al saktiru. I'm Rabbi the Breder Hashem ben Pazi. The Rabbi Yeshua said, no, that's not a problem. The makter le shem eitz, and what you're going to do is when you're going to be makter, you're going to make a tonight. You're going to say that in the event that it's Shirayim, I'm being makter it as eitzim. Oh, meaning as fuel for the Mizbech, that's something you're allowed to do. So you could take something that really is not supposed to go on the Mizbech and say that I want it, Tinani Mukhar Mizuma, that should have a din of eights, and this should be fuel for the fire of the Mizbech. That's something you're allowed to do, and that's the point. And the Kreb Eliezer and the Preston of Ezra, Rebbe Eliezer, the time of Eliezer, Oyvah, Lerech, Nichayach, Yatamayla. You now let it bring the Lerech, Nichayach, Avalatamayla, Lishomaitzim. If you want to bring Lishomaitzim, that you could. So bring, to do it before the Koimitz, you can, because now you're missing part of the Shirai. But to be Makdur after the Koimitz, that you can do either, and is it to be Makdur Shirai? Rebbe Eliezer holds you could do it Lishem. Eitzim, that's what you get. But the Gemara says, "Hundich the Rebbe Eliezer." That's all good if you hold the Rebbe Eliezer. Other Rabbanon ma'ikulamim. But if you hold like the Rabbanon, what are you going to say then? Amar Rav Mori. Rav Mori said, "The Kamsi Shmeini." You're right. According to Rabbanon, there's only one Eitzim. You're going to have to take someone that has bigger zaftige fingers, where there is not going to be any bein ha binayim. It's going to be very hard for the koymitz to get in between his fingers. You don't have to worry about it. That's the Eitzim. Meaning, being the Rabbi Yeshua ben Uzza said that he's not sure what halach is with the bein ha binayim. So you have no Eitzah, because you're right. How are you going to be Makhtar the Ketores? It's a big problem. If it's part of the Koimitz, you have to be Makhtar. If it's not part of the Koimitz, you can't be Makhtar. So the Gemara had a little bit of an Eitzah, but the Eitzah, the Gemara only works a coin dribble. Yes, a coin dribble is not an Eitzah. Gemara says, you're right, you just have to find a Koim where this is not going to be an issue. Hashtag, the Osas Lachi. Gemara says, oh, once we said this, Nami, the Kamsish, even coin dribble, what, you're going to be Makhtar, the Bein HaBinayim, with a whole Tanai, with a Sophic, I'm bringing a Lashon Eitzim. Meaning, if we had no choice, then Mamela, we didn't have a choice. But to the extent we have a choice, that's certainly a bidyeved. That's a plan B. But plan A would be you find a kohen that has shmeini, his fingers. As a result, there won't be any bein abinayim. There won't be any bein abinayim. This is not something you have to worry about. Exhale. So today's daf, Yumo daf mem zayin, as it relates to a shas daf, is famous not so much for the sugyas of kmitza and Moloi Chafnov. That makes it famous in Kachem circles. But as it relates to globally, it's well known for the Braisa and the story that the Gemara told about Kimchis. So the Braisa said, Shiva banim hayu lo Kimchis. Kimchis had seven sons. V'kulon shimshu b'kuhuna gadayla. And all seven of her sons were zaycha to serve as a Kohen Gadol. Amar lo chachamim, the chachamim asked her, Ma osis shezachis l'kach, what did you do to merit to have seven sons that were kehanim and gedolim? Amar lehem, she told them, Mi yomai loiro koiras besi kalish sara. The walls of my house never saw the braids of my hair. Amar lo, they told her, Har ba'asa kevel ha'ilu, you're not the only one to ever do that. There must be a little bit more to the story. But the Gemara says that Kimchis was a woman, she had seven sons, all seven of her sons were zoicha to be Kohen Gadol, and the reason they became Kohen Gadol was because of this tznius yisera. The truth is that that's pashut, that what Kimchis did was not something that she was halachically obligated to do. There's no halacha that says that a woman in her own four walls is not allowed to expose her hair. There's no such halacha. Rather, what she did was something that was very much lefin meshur esadin. And in fact, you see that because of the act of lefin meshur esadin that she committed, it's for that reason she merited such a gevaldig schar. Had the halacha been to do what it was she did, she wouldn't have gotten such a schar. But rather, it was because she went lefnim meshur sadin, it was because of a tznias yaseira that she had, that she was zaycha to what she was zaycha to. And the truth is, the Bir Halacha says this mefurish in Hilchas Kriyashma, in Simen Ayin Hey, he says that uleinyan ikur iser gilui sar de isha, kosav amagan avram, shem atoisvis, de davka beshuk aser, aval bechatzer, shein anosha metsuyun sham, mutarim leilach begilui roish. It's passion that this is something that she'd be allowed to do. Stating that, the Magen Avram and certainly the Svarim HaKadoshim do all quote this Gemara, that you do see from here that there's a Maila for a woman to have Tznias Yisera. Because if there's no Maila, then what was the whole big deal, and what was the prit quo, and why did she get such a schar? So from the fact that she got the schar that she got, Zoysay Meres, it's clear that there is an idea, and the Magen Avram quotes it, he quotes a Zoyer and Barshas Nosoy, Vadvarim Matikin, the Inkam Mekoymoy Laharech. But if you think about the story, so Kimchis had seven sons. Now our Gemara mentioned three. Our Gemara mentioned Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis. Our Gemara mentioned a brother that he had whose name was Yeshevav. Our Gemara mentioned another brother that he had whose name was Yosef. And really, from the narrative of the Gemara, Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis was the Kohen Gadol. And He had a brother, Yeshevav, that was once his Sgan Kohen Gadol. He had another brother, Yosef, that was also once his Sgan Kohen Gadol. And the Gemara told two stories, the same story that repeated itself twice, where Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis, who was the Kohen Gadol, was having a conversation with Aravi on Yom Kippur, Beshuk. How exactly that happened is a little perplexing. It's Yom Kippur. I mean, the Kohen Gadol's job is to be in the Kodesh, is to be in the Beis HaMikdash. But Maisa Shehoya Kachaya, he ended up becoming Tommy because he spit at him, and his brother Yeshevav stepped in, or his brother Yosef stepped in. But the point is, the Gemara gave us a little bit of insight in terms of how this happened. But this woman, Kimchis, had seven sons, and they all became Kehanim Gedolim. And the truth is that the Svarim struggle a little bit to understand the practicality. Meaning, Pashut the Metzias, how exactly did this play out? And they say as follows. It's very hard to believe that what happened was that Kimchis had seven sons, and they all somehow succeeded each other as becoming Kohanim Gadolim, which would usually, in the conventional sense, mean that she had a son that was Kohen Gadol, he died, and then the next son became Kohen Gadol, he died, and then the next son became Kohen Gadol, and he died, because that would mean that Kimchis literally buried six of her children during her lifetime. And doesn't sound like that's such a gewaldig geschar for this amazing thing that she did. But the Gemara is bringing out the story of Kimchis as if this was an unbelievable reward she got for its tznius yaseirah. So this is the reward. The reward was that she had seven kohanim gedolim. Why? Because her sons kept on dying? Doesn't make sense. So it can't be that that's what happened. So what must have happened? Similar to what the Gemara says. There was a Kohen Gadol, and he became Tomei, and then another brother came in, and then he became Tomei, and another brother came in. In fact, it sounds like the Kohen Gadol was Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis. It sounds like he's the one, and he keeps on becoming Tomei somehow. The Gemara just told two stories. But something similar to this must have happened again and again and again. And the truth is, as I state in Tosfos Yeshanim, right here, Hafachba, Vafachba, and all the Tosfos Yeshanim, the Masechtas Yuma, and he says it very clearly right here in our Gemara. Tosfos Rosh says the same thing, and I saw that the Iyun Yaakov, that's the Shvus Yaakov, and his Pirush Anein Yaakov, so he says that the Lashon of the Gemara is a little bit meduyik that way. Because the Gemara says, Shiva banim hayu lo lekimchis, v'kulan shimshu b'kuna gedayla. It doesn't say v'kulan hayu kayhanim gedayla. V'kulan shimshu b'kuna gedayla. They all had an opportunity to be mishamish b'kuna gedayla. So he said, shouldn't it have said v'kulam hayu kayhanim gedayla? So the Iyun Yaakov said that it sounds like from the Gemara, they really were not kayhanim gedayla. She didn't have seven sons that had the title I am the Kohen Gadol, but she did have seven sons that at some point served with the position of Kohen Gadol. But I saw that Rabbi Reuven Margolis in a Sefer in a Tzoytzeyar is still very bothered with the Gemara. He says, the Gemara doesn't sit well with me. At the end of the day, I understand it's not possible that her sons all died because that wouldn't have been a schar. Must be what happened was she had a son that was a Kohen Gadol, maybe two sons that were, and they were becoming Tamei, and as a result, different Kohanim kept on rotating and filling in. But he says, why would that have happened? Like, what's the practicality of that? Like, what's the cheshbon? What's the pshat that the two stories that our Gemara told? Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis is the Kohen Gadol. He becomes Tamei. His brother Yeshevav comes in. Then he becomes Tamei again, and this time Yosef. And it sounds like something similar must have happened again, the way the Rishonim explained it. And another brother came in. And then another brother. Then another brother. What happened to Yeshevav the second year? What happened to Yosef the third year? Why this rotation? Like, what's the cheshbon? He says, it just doesn't sound like the way it should have been done. He says, if you think about it, there has to be an explanation. Stam, this is the way it was. So Tosfos Yeshanim says, maybe the brothers weren't there. But it's L'chura einoy oimer ela dershuni. It sounds like something that requires a little bit of hesber. So he says that he saw in a sefer that's called Hakoyin Hagadol VeHaskan. It was written by Rabbi Ephraim Samanov. So in this sefer, Rabbi Ephraim Samanov suggested the following. He said that it could be that once the Sgan Kohen Gadol became the Kohen Gadol, he wasn't allowed to be the Sgan Kohen Gadol again. Because Maimon B'Kodesh Me'im Aridin. So Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis was the Kohen Gadol, and he had a conversation with an Arab on Yom Kippur in the Shuk. He spit at him, and because of that, he couldn't do the Avoid anymore. So his brother Yeshevav came in. You know what happened? Once Yeshevav became the Kohen Gadol, he did the Avoid that year. He couldn't be the Sgan again. So the next year, when you needed a Sgan Kohen Gadol, he couldn't be the person that stood next to the Kohen Gadol and said, Ishi Kohen Gadol, the right hand, the left hand. He couldn't be his Gabbai. He couldn't be with him the whole time because Maimon B'Kodesh Me'im Aridin. Once you're the Kohen Gadol, you can't be the Sgan anymore. So he needed another brother to come in. He needed the brother Yosef. And then once Yosef was, see, he couldn't do it again. He needed another brother. But the point is that there's an idea of Maila B'Kodesh Me'im Aridin. So once you're a Kohen Gadol, you can't become the Sgan, and that's why there was this rotation. And it ended up being that all these different brothers became the Sgan different years. It just so happened that they all became Kohen Gadol, and that was the schus that Kimcha said that she ended up seeing seven of her sons end up being the Kohen Gadol. But Reb Reuven Margolis is not so happy with this pshat. He says he thinks it has some flaws. So he says, "Hapisrein l'dait to you." After everything that he's read and he's heard and he's sought to try to explain how it happened that all seven of her sons became the Kohen Gadol. So he says, "I want to shtel to a Tosfos and Masechtas Nazir daf mem zayin amar aleph." The context over there is actually very geschmack. The Mishnah discusses a Kohen Gadol and a Nazir that were walking together on the street. And they saw a mace mitzvah. Now the halach is a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to be metamed to a mace, not even to his karev. A nazir is not allowed to be metamed to a mace, also not even to his karev. But a Kohen Gadol and a nazir are both metamed to a mace mitzvah. Because for a mace mitzvah, there's no kedushas kuna gedayla, there's no kedushas naziris. The halach is everyone's always metamed to a mace mitzvah. So here's the question. What happens if a Kohen Gadol and a nazir are walking together? One of them have to be metamed, but not both. So who should be metamed? Should the Kohen Gadol be metamed? Or should the nazir be metamed? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Eliezer said, the Kohen Gadol should. The Chachamim said that the nazir should. And then the Gemara goes on and talks about different cases, meaning similar cases. One of the cases the Gemara discusses, what would be if you have a Kohen Gadol that was a Meshuach B'Shemen HaMishcha, and there was another Kohen Gadol that was a Merubah Begotten. So in the olden days, when we had the Shemen HaMishcha, the way the Kohen Gadol was inaugurated as Kohen Gadol is he would be smeared with the Shemen HaMishcha. But then when Yeshio HaMelech hid the Aron, he hid the Shemen HaMishcha with it, so there was no more Shemen HaMishcha. So the way the Kohen Gadol became inaugurated as the Kohen Gadol is he would wear the Shemayna Begudim, and by putting on, by donning those clothing, that's how he'd be the Kohen Gadol. And that's the Gemara Safik. What would be if the Meshuach B'Shemen HaMishcha was walking together with Merubah Begotten? And Tosfos is very bothered. How this is even possible? He says, I don't understand. Is this bias Rishon? So then they're both Meshuach B'Shemen HaMishcha. Is it bias Sheni? When there's no Shemen HaMishcha anymore, they're both Merubah Begotten. So Tosfos says, in order to answer the question, you have to say the first Kohen Gadol was before Yoshio hit it. The second Kohen Gadol is after. He was already Merubah Begotten. But Tosfos has some follow-up questions to that. And then Tosfos has a very big Yisoid. And Tosfos' Yisoid is like this. If you had a Kohen Gadol that became Pasul, couldn't do the Avodah. So the Sgan comes and he fills in. What happens when the Kohen Gadol is able to do the Avodah again? So he's Chayzal Avodasnoi. He takes his Shtala, but you don't lose your Shtala, right? He's on the disabled list. Right now he can't do the Avodah. But when he's able to do the Avodah, he comes back and he takes his Shtala. He was the Kohen Gadol. He's going to be the Kohen Gadol again. But Tosfos, in the middle of this Shmuz, says a very big Chiddush. He said, what would be if the Kohen Gadol was a Ritzeach B'Shoigeg? That's his case. And he ended up going to Golis. And he went to Golis for an extended period of time. And then he comes back after Kamashonim. So the halacha is, Einoi Chayzel Avidasoi. He doesn't get back in Shteller. Shari Shimesh Zeh Tachtov Kamashonim. Because this person already had the Shteller, the Skan, for many years, and now you can't take it back anymore. So if you were apostle for a day, for a week, became Tommy Thomas Smith, so then the Kohen Gadol can come and he can do the Avodah. But if a Kamashonim, he lost the Kohen Gadol, now he doesn't have the right to get it back. Meaning there's a concept where someone could have a Chazaka in Kohen Gadol. Fascinating idea. It's a Tosfos in Masechtas Nazir, Daf Mem Zayin Amar Aleph. Somebody can actually be machzik in Kohuna Gedayla. That if someone was a Kohen Gadol long enough, he takes the Shteller, and even though you maybe had originally the rights to it, you can end up losing it. So said Reb Reuven Margolis, I think that was the Cheshbon over here. Reb Yishmael ben Kimchis knew that if one of his brothers would have been the Sgan for 6 years, he would have lost the Shteller. Because he would have been machzik in the Kohuna Gedayla, and there's a concept that if somebody had the title of Kohuna Gedayla too much, he could actually end up taking it. So he said, Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchis didn't want to lose the Kohuna Gedayla, so what he did was, he spread it out. He diversified a little bit. This year it's going to be Yeshevav, you'll be my Skan in case something happens. Next year it's going to be Yosef, and it seems that something always happened. But the point is, he ended up spreading it out. The idea was, what was he trying to address? He was trying to address that he didn't want one person to come in for Kamashanim. Because if one person would have came in for Kamashanim, he would have ended up losing it. This shtickle is in Reb Reuven Margolis' Sefer, L'cheker Shemes V'kinuyin. It's Ois Yud, Essay Yud, and the title is Ben Kimchis. He's discussing this riddle of the seven sons of Kimchis and why it was that it was a schar that she had seven sons. Obviously, they didn't die. Elamai, they were skans, like the Gemara gave two examples of, and somehow he became Tameh, and Mimeli ended up filling in. But why was it always a different brother? L'chur, you would have thought it was one skan, or what, six brothers who ended up being disconsed? Like, how did that happen? If they died, then Eviter, it's not a schar. So it seems like there was a reason for it. Now, he says he thinks the reason is because Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchas didn't want anyone to be machzik in the Kahuna Gedoyla based on this Tosfos, this chiddush, this epic chiddush in Masechtas Nazir daf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. But again, this is Essay Yud in the Sefer Lechem Ekshem Ezer Kinoin. If you turn back one page and you go to Essay Tess, Rabbi Reuven Margolis, in classic form, says something that's just beyond brilliant, and it's literally mavel ala ra. It's a little bit of a cheshbon in terms of halting cup, but we'll give it an attempt. But a little bit of a hakdama, and that is, the Marsha asks a kashan. He says, the Gemara said on Daf Tes Amud Aleph that Ma'idachsev Yiras Hashem Toisef Yomim Ushnois Rishoim Tikzorna. Yiras Hashem Toisef Yomim Zamikdash Rishon. Sha'amad Arba Meis V'Eseshanim. It stood for 410 years. V'Leishim Shabay Elo Yud Chesor. The Vilna Goyin's Gersa is Yud Beis Koyhanim Gedoylim. 410 years, 12 Koyhanim Gedoylim. Yiras Hashem, there was Yiras Shemaim during Bayis Rishon. Toisef Yomim. It brought with it Arichas Yomim. Shnois Rishon Tikzorna Zamikdash Sheni. That's referring to the second base Hamikdash. Sha'amad Arba Meis V'Eser Mishlan. It stood longer, 420 years, but the Shimshu by Yoisim Mishalish Meis Kehanim. There were more than 300 Kehanim. Now, save me, Hamem Shon Shimshu Shimon HaTzadik. Deduct the 40 years of Shimon HaTzadik, Ushmoinim Shashimish Yoichin Kohen Gadol, and the 80 years of Yoichin Kohen Gadol, Esner Shashimish Yishmol Ben Pabi, the 10 years of Yishmol Ben Pabi, V'amilo Som say, Yud Alef Shashimish Blazman Charsum, Blazman Charsum is the one on Daflam and Hey, who was Mechayev Esu Ashirim. Take out the 11 years of Rabbi Lazim and Charsum. So you deduct all that, you're going to end up having already less than 300 years. Save the Chashoev Kol Echad Echad Lehoitzei Shnos. Comes out there was no Kohen Gadol that lived out the year. So the Gemara says that with the exception of the few Kohanim Gedolim that were mentioned during Bayis Shneini, there were no Kohanim Gedolim that freaked the Marsha. What happened to Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchas? Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchas just mentioned in our Gemara. He had a bunch of brothers that served as Kan Kohen Gadols in different years. He was Kohen Gadol more than 1 year. I mean, it's clear. Just the story that the Gemara told. He was already Kohen Gadol more than 1 year. He was Kohen Gadol when Yesheva filled in. He was the Kohen Gadol when Yosef filled in. So Freik, the Marsha, how come Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchas wasn't mentioned in the Gemara Daf Tes Amud Aleph? On Daf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, it's Mavur that he was a Kohen Gadol, Bayis Sheni, by the way, who served more than 1 year. The Gemara just mentioned a few Kayanim Gedolim that served more than 1 year. Says the Marsha, you have to say it's Pashit, that Rabbi Shmuel ben Pabi, that's mentioned in the Gemara in Yuma Daf Tes Amud Aleph, is the same person as Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchas that's mentioned in the Gemara Daf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. He said it's very Pashit. Pabi was his father's name. Kimchas was his mother's name. And we know Kimchas was his mother's name. The Gemara says Kimchas had seven sons of a Kehanim Gedolim. What did you do? She was a tznus. You see, Kimchas was the mother. So the Gemara over here is talking about Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchas. That's Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara in Yumadav Tessam and Aleph is Rabbi Shmuel ben Pabi. In fact, we now know, so how many years did Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchas serve? Eser Sheshimish Yishmuel ben Pabi. He was the Kohen Gadol for 10 years. It sounds like six of them he didn't even serve because his brothers did. But the bottom line is that he's that Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchas that the Gemara is referring to on Daf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. So, on the note of Rabbi Shmuel ben Kimchas, says Rabbi Reuven Margolis, there's a Tosefta in Masechtas Kelim. And this is in Masechtas Kelim, Bava Kama, Perik Aleph, Halacha Vav. So the Tosefta in Masechtas Kelim is broken up into three parts. Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, and Bava Basra. This is not Masechtas Bava Kama. It's Masechtas Kelim, but it's the Bava Kama. You always learn a lot when you go through Rabbi Reuven Margolis and Shtiklach. This is the Bava Kama Chelik of the Tosefta in Masechtas Kelim. And it's literally a Medrash Pliya. It says as follows. Nichnasim Lebeinu Ulam V'lam Mizbeach. Rameir says someone that didn't wash his hands and his feet, meaning someone that wasn't Mekadosh Yodav Aragla from the Kir, he's allowed to walk into the area that's between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. So we saw this last week. The area between the Ulam and the Mizbeach had a special level of Kedusha. It's one of the 10 Madrigas of Kedusha in the first Perek in Masechtas Kelim. Notice, this is also in the Tosefta, first Perek of Bava Kama, the first Chelik of Masechtas Kelim. So this actually mirrors some of the Gemaras that we saw not so long ago. But either way, said Rav Meir in the Tosefta, a person that didn't wash his hands and feet is allowed to walk to the area between the Ulam and the Mizbech. The Chachamim Eim Eim Nechnas. Chachamim say you're not allowed to. Amar Rav Shimon Hatzonua, Lefnei Rav Eliezer. So there was a Yid, his name was Rav Shimon Hatzonua. And he went to Rav Eliezer. He said, Ani Nechnasti Leveinu Ulam Ulam Mizbech. I walked between the Ulam and the Mizbech. Shaloi Roch Tzidayim Raglai. And I didn't wash my hands and feet. So, you know what? You're telling me, Eim Nechnasin? I did it. I don't know. I live to tell the story. It sounds like this is something you're allowed to do. Amaloi. So Rabbi Eliezer told him, let me ask you a question. Michavev, atoy kohen gadol. Who do you think is more beloved? You or the kohen gadol? So the Gemara says, how you shaysek? He was quiet. He didn't want to answer. Amaloi. Boish atoloi, man. You see, you're not answering because you're embarrassed. Because you know the truth. You're embarrassed to say that. That the answer is shekalbish kohen gadol, the dog of the kohen gadol. So you usually don't associate the kohen gadol having a caliph, but kalbish kohen gadol chavev emech. He's more chashev than you. Amaloi. So he told him, Rebbe, amarta. I hear amaloi afilu kohen gadol. And then he said, I want you to know that if they would find the kohen gadol in the area between the ulam and the mizbeach, poitzen es moichai begizrin, they would literally smash his head. Poitzen es moichai begizrin. With the Shnei Gezirei Eitzim, right? So that's mamish the way they would hit him. But he said, you're lucky, Reb Shimon HaTzanua. Ma tasa shaloi mitzah acha bal hapol. You're just very lucky that the bal hapol, the bean, didn't find you. That's what he told him. You're very lucky that the bal hapol didn't find you. This is a medrash play, right? So Reb Shimon HaTzanua and Reb Eliezer, they're having a conversation. And the conversation is, are you allowed to walk ben ulam v'mizbech without being mekadosh yodah v'ragla from the kir? Or are you not allowed to walk ben ulam v'mizbech without being mekadosh yodah v'ragla from the kir? And Reb Shimon HaTzanua said, I did it. And Reb Eliezer, after telling him that you're less choshev than the dog of the Kohen Gadol, he told him, you know what, you did it, but you're lucky, you should bench HaGoyimu. Because if Baal HaPul would have found you, Baal HaPul would have taken you out. Because even if he would find the Kohen Gadol, you know what he'd do? He'd be Paitseyas Moichet Begiz. And because the Baal HaPul didn't find you, so you ended up getting away with it. And says Rav Reuven Margolis, we have a riddle in front of us, and that is, who is this Baal HaPul, and why is he killing people that walk between the Ulam and the Mizbeach? And this is the topic of Lecheke Shemes V'Kinuyim essay test, and the name is called Baal HaPul. So says Rav Reuven Margolis, he found a Metzia. He had this unbelievable Ein Fal. He says, the Gemara says, it's a Mishnah actually, in Masechtas Tahiris, Perek Ches, Mishnah Tes. The Mishnah over there mentions a Tana whose name was Reb Eliezer ben Pila. Reb Eliezer ben Pila said, if you look at the side of the Mishnayis, there's a Gilyon that says his name wasn't Reb Eliezer ben Pila, but rather his name was Reb Eliezer ben Pabi. So he said, Reb Eliezer ben Pila, Reb Eliezer ben Pabi. He says he was thinking, Pila doesn't sound like a name. Even Pabi is making me a little bit uncomfortable. So he says it hit him. A pill is from the Shirish of bean. That's what a pull is. A pull hamitzri, right? That's what a pull is. A pull is a bean. He realized, he said that Pabi also means a bean in Latin. Bean in Latin is faba. F-A-B-A. You can look it up. That's the Latin word for a bean. So he said, he chapped that Reb Eliezer ben Pila and Reb Eliezer ben Pabi is really the same name. It must be the same person. It must be Reb Eliezer, who's the bean. He's Ben Pabi. He's Ben Pila. It has to be. He's Pasha. Those are the two Gersayas, two names that you almost never find. He says, he thinks that's what's going on. So he says, if that's what's going on, if Pabi is Pila, it really means bean, because in Latin, the word is Pabi, Faba. Fabi, probably. And in Aramaic, it's Pila. He says, maybe that's Pshat in this Tosefta. Because there's a Gemara that we learned together not so long ago in Masechtas Pesachim. The Gemara over there tells the story about the Azara. Four cries the Azara cried out. It's a Gemara in Daf Nun Zayin, Amud Aleph, and Masechtas Pesachim, and Perek Makim Shenagu. And the Gemara says as follows, Amar Abishol ben Batnis, Mishum Abi Yosef ben Chanan. He said, Oili mi beis baisus, oili mei alosan. I'm very afraid of the family of baisus, and I'm afraid of their blows. Oili mi beis chanan, oili mi lechishasan. Oili mi beis kasrois, oili mi kumasan. Oili mi beis Rabbi Shmuel ben Pabi, oili mi agroifan. I'm very afraid of the family of Rabbi Shmuel ben Pabi. Shehem kaihanim gedoilim. Because they were kaihanim gedoilim, upneim gizbarim. Their sons had jobs, they were officers, they worked for Hektish. The chasneim amarklim, and the edims were also in the family business. And even their slaves to beat people up. So said Rabbi Reuven Margolis, aha, we have the family Rabbi Shmuel ben Pabi. Rabbi Shmuel ben Pabi, who were they? Oihli mei egroifam, shem kayhanim gedoilim. Ubneim chayftenasam. What is Pabi? It means pill. He says, I think that's who the Baal HaPul is. The Baal HaPul were members from the family of Rabbi Shmuel ben Pabi. No, he says, Rabbi Shmuel ben Pabi, mechateisi. Oh, he says, no, that's the Gemara, that's the Mishnah in Tyrus. You have Rabbi Eliezer ben Pila, and you have Rabbi Eliezer ben Piabi, because Pabi in Latin That's the language they spoke then, is a bean. That's what a pill is. It's also a bean. And that's who the bean that everyone's so afraid of is in this Tosefta. It's none other than the family of Rabbi Shmuel ben Pabi. Now you say, why are you afraid of the family of Rabbi Shmuel ben Pabi? He's going to break their brains out literally with Shnei Gezir. It's a Mefurish Gemara in Pesachim. The Gemara says, Oyli mea greifam, she'en peyanim gedoylam, v'brein gizram, v'chasneim ha-marklim, v'abdein choyf t'rasam ha-marklis. So he says, push it, that's what it is. He says, push it, that this balapul in this Tosefta, it's referring to this Gemara in Pesachim, daf nun zayin amanah. But he says, we still have one issue. And that is, why did they call him the bean? Why is that the name? Meaning, at the end of the day, we're afraid of this family. Well, what does a bean have to do with anything? Like, what's Pash and Pshad in this Cheshbon? Like, how did this end up becoming his name? Like, something about the Fiabi and the pill? That's probably not his real name. It's probably a nickname. So if that's the case, how did that come out? So said Rav Reuven Margolis, you have to know the rest of the story. He says it's Pashit exactly what's going on over here. We learned the Gemara together not so long ago. The Gemara is in the Masechtas Yuma. It's on the Daf Lamed Tes. The Gemara told the story about the 40 years that Shimon HaTzadik served as the Kohen Gadol. And during those 40 years, all the miracles took place. And there was brachas. And everything was not shaykh. But the Gemara says that after the Petira of Shimon HaTzadik, everything changed. Nishtalcha Me'era. There was a me'era, there was a curse in the carbon omer. Ubishtei alechem, there was a curse in the shtei alechem. Ubalechem upon him, and there was a curse in the lechem upon him. V'chol koyin magia kapol. And when they used to divvy up, and they would divide all these matnas kahuna, there was so little, because there was a me'era, everybody got the size of a bean. Hatznuin moishchen es yedeim. The tznuin, they were moishchen es yedeim. But the gargaronim, this is not shaykh, but the freses, the gargaronim, noichlin, they would take for oichlin and they would eat. Umaisen, then the Gemara tells a story. He once took his chelik, he wanted, he was starving. He was at one of the gargaronim, he's from the echte freses. He wanted to go ahead and take a little bit, but he got the size of a bean. So you know what he did? He was not al chelka, he took his chelik, the chelik chaveroi, and he took his friend's chelik also. And to the rest of his life, he got himself a nickname. You know what his nickname was? It was Ben Chamtzin, says Rav Reuven Margolis. This story that the Gemara just told is told in this Talmud Yerushalmi as well. It's not in the Torah Bekalpi, in the fourth parak, but rather it's in the sixth parak. It's parak Vav, it's Halacha Gimel. And the Yerushalmi tells the same exact story, but it just adds one detail that's different than in our Talmud Bavli. It says, Maisa B'Kayin Echad, there was a story with a Kayin. It was so little, it was a pull. He was from the Freses. He went ahead and knocked out Chelke v'Chelek Chavere. For who are you, Nikra? And they called him Ben Ha'afoin. They didn't call him Ben Chamtzin. They called him Ben Ha'afoin. Ad Hayom, until that day. She David Omar, David once said, Elikai Paltein Mi'ad Rasha, Mikaf Mu'uvel V'Chaymetz. He went ahead, they called him the Ben Ha'afoin. Why they called him the Ben Ha'afoin? Because he took his Chelek and his friend's Chelek. You know what an Afoin is? An Afoin is a bean. Now you know what Afoin is a bean? Because if you look three lines earlier, the Gemara says, Mishamein Shem and Atzadik, Nitla, Baruch HaMishtei Alechem Lechem Apan. The Baruch was taken away. Afoin, Noifel Lechol Echad Ve'echad Mehen Ad. Doesn't say Kepul, it says Ka'afoin. So an Afoin is really a pull. So what was this person called? They called him Ben Ha'afoin. You know what they called him Ben Ha'afoin? Because he was aggressive, and he went ahead, and they had Giganvit Yenis Afoin. So who was called the Ben Chamtzin in our Gemara was called the Ben Ha'afoin in the Yerushalmi. Now, we know I was called a Ben Afoin in the Yerushalmi. It's very posh. That's what he stole. He stole a bean. And an Afoin is a bean. That's what it is. And that's why he was called the Ben Afoin. But why was it called the Ben Chamtzin? So the Gemara says, why was it Ben Chamtzin? Because Chamtzin means a Gazlan. But says from Reuven Margolis, if you really know the rest of the story, it's Lo Yo'umen. Because it's a Gemara Masechtas Yevam Mestaf Samach Gimel Amad Aleph. Amar Rav. Rav turned to his wife and he said, Avidli Chumtzin. Remember the Gemara? Rav's wife used to always make whatever he said Faker. So he wanted something, so he would always say he wants faker. He wants milk, he said, make me fly shakes. Right, you want a black coffee, put milk in it. Right, he always wants faker. So one day, Rav tells his wife, Avidli Chumtza. So what's Chumtza? Tavshul shall pull. It's beans. It's another Gemara. Chulin daf nun beis. The Gemara says, kol mine kidney is v'chulu chutz min chumtza. Do you know what the word chamtzin means? It also means a bean. V'yukayr noisai ben chamtzin. Because he had gegan with the bean. And that's why he got himself the nickname of Ben Chamtzin. Now, the Gemara said it's because he was a Gazlan. So he said, you're right. Tarti b'mashma. There's two reasons. Number one, Chamtzin means he's a Gazlan. But it also means that gegan with the bean. I have two Gemaras. I have a Gemara in Yevam HaSamach Gimel. I have a Gemara in Chum and Daf Mem Beis. Said Rav Reuven Margolis that that's what he means. In other words, we had a person who was in the Beis HaMikdash, who was overly aggressive, and because of his over-aggression, he got himself a nickname. And you know what his nickname was? In the Talmud Yerushalmi, the nickname is Ben Afayn. And in the Talmud Bavli, it's Ben Chamtzin. But you know what those two words mean? They mean bean. And that's why, where we have the Baal HaPul, said Rav Reuven Margolis, who's aggressive, who's the family of Yishmael Ben Piavi, which also means bean. He's so loud. Where did it come from, this nickname? What do you want from the poor Paul? Oh, the answer is because this is the Gemara. It's the Gemara we learned. It's the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Lamed Tes. It's the Gemara in the sixth parak of the Talmud Yerushalmi. There was a Kayan, a family of Kayanim that were nicknamed the bean. Afoin, Piabi, Paul, Chamtzin. It's all the same exact name. And that's the rest of the story. So you want to know who this Baal HaPul is that Rabbi Eliezer told Reb Shimon Hatzonua. He said, you're lucky that the Baal HaPul didn't find you between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. This is none other than Rabbi Yishmael Ben Piabi's family. It's Rabbi Yishmael Ben Piabi of Mesechtis, Psochim, Daf Nun Zayin, Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says, Oili mei a groifon, because even their Avodim used to beat people. Forget about their sons and their Edims. They're handling all the finances. They had so much power. And at the same time, they used to beat people. And that's this Nakuda. You want to know where it came from? It came from that Nakuda. But just to end with one note. So we have today, we're talking about Rabbi Yishmael ben Kimchis, who the Marsha was Megalitas, was also Rabbi Yishmael ben Piabi, or probably Fiabi, based on this Faba. But the point is, that's who Rabbi Yishmael was. From the Mamazite, Kimchis, his mother was a tremendous Sanua. From the father's side, he comes from Ben Achamtsin, Ben Apul, Ben Afoin. Right, this is his Yichus, where he was known. He was from this family of Kayanim that were nicknamed based on the story when it was only a pull. But I just have one heritage. Really, when you read the story of Rabbi Yishmael ben Piabi, so it sounds like they were too aggressive, right? They were nicknamed in a very derogatory way. That's certainly the sense that you get. But the truth is, a careful reading of the Gemara in Psachim, Daf Zayinam and Aleph, is that it's not so poshid. In fact, the Gemara says, Arba Tzvache Safcha Azara. The Azara called out four times. Rishonim, the first time was, Tzumi Kan B'nei Eli, Shetimo Heichal Hashem. The second time was, Tzemi Kan Yisoschar Ishkvar Barkai, Shemechabit Atzmoy, Umechal Kotche Shemayim. The third time was Susha Orim Roshechem, the Ikonis Yishmo Ben Piabi, Talmidoi Shal Pinchas, the Ishamish Bekuhuna Gedoyla. Rabbi Shmo Ben Piabi was Talmidoi Shal Pinchas. This is a fascinating wrinkle into the story of Rabbi Shmo Ben Piabi, of the story of the Baal HaPul. The Baal HaPul sounds like he's gonna just go after you. But the truth is, he was Talmidoi Shal Pinchas. It came from a kanois. Now, how do you reconcile all of it? So you have to work it out a little bit. But it's a mefurish Gemara. The Gemara says v'yikonis yishmo ben piavi because he was talmidei shel Pinchas. That kanois, that aggression was Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon HaKoyen, who was heishev es chamasi bekanig eskenasi. So lefizeh, maybe you can add one machshava to this raid, and that is, the Pasuk says that after Pinchas went ahead and did what he did, he killed Zimri and Cosby. So the Pasuk, L'chein Amar, Hinini Noisen Loi Es Brisi Shalom. V'hoisoloi, what was the bracha that he got? Loi Ulezarei Acharav Brisku Hunas Olam. He married that him and all his children, they would all be Kayanim. And everyone asks, all the Rishonim, what do you mean? Of course his children are going to be Kayanim. If you're a Kayan, your children are going to be Kayanim. V'hoisoloi, this is a bracha Ulezarei Acharav Brisku Hunas Olam. Says the Evan Ezra, that Uschara, you want to know what Uschara was? Shetia loyu lazare achara brisk hunas oilam venetzach. Ki ha koyhanim agedoilim, hoyu mi b'nei Pinchas. The koyhanim agedoilim, they all came from Pinchas. Vi itochen shahoyu banim achirim. But the point is, that what was the vahoysaloi ulazare achara brisk hunas oilam? He was zoicha to koyhanim gedoilim. Pinchas is kanos. Had a tremendous reward. The reward was that for all the doiris, and the truth is, it's a mefurish hasafri. For all the doiris, all the kehanim gedolim would come from Pinchas, ben Elazar ben Aharon. They all came from Aharon, but specifically from Pinchas. Why? Because of his kanois. Rabbi Shmuel ben Piabi was a kanoi. You know what kind of kanoi he was? He was talmidei shel Pinchas. Meaning this family of Piabi, this mishpacha, right? Wasn't Rabbi Shmuel ben Piabi per se? He's Ben Piabi. This is the mishpacha of the pool, the Ben Chamtzin, the Ben Pool. This is a family thing. What was the schar that they got? This one family had seven sons that were Kehanim Gedolim. From the mother's side, there was a schar of Kimchis. Like the Gemara says, that her walls never saw her hair. But from the father's side, they came from the Baal HaPol. And even though at first glance, the Baal HaPol seems to be aggressive, but really it's a Mefurish Gemara that aggression came from a Kanois. So this Piabi, this Baal HaPol also had a schos. You know what the schos was? The schus was that he was zoicha to have seven sons that would be kohanim gedolim. So there was schusim both from the mother side of Kimchis because of the extra special tzniyus that she had, and from the father side because he was a kanoi like Pinchas ben Elaz ben Aharon HaKohen. And what was Pinchas's schar b'hoisel loyu lezarei achra brisku hu nasoilam? He was zoicha to that as well, and that's why he had this disproportionate, this incredible anomaly that Chazal wondered about. They even asked her, "What did you do to deserve it?" Maybe the father played a little bit of a role in this as well, and that is. Was the Kanois of Pinchas ben Elaz that the Gemara says Mefurish was attributed to this family. It wasn't just a person, it was a family. This Mishpacha had the Kanois of Pinchas ben Elaz ben Aharon HaKohen. What was Pinchas' schar for his Kanois? Kahuna Gedoyla, maybe it's not a coincidence that Mitzad Ha'av, he also had the schos to have seven sons that were Kehanim Gedoyla.